Today is Mardi Gras, the last day to indulge before Lent. Translated, Mardi Gras means Fat Tuesday, and it makes many of us think about non-stop partygoers clogging the streets of New Orleans.
Mardi Gras is also a long-standing tradition for rural Cajuns, people whose French-speaking ancestors settled in South Louisiana during the 17th century. In fact, most Cajuns spoke French up until World War II, before military service, post-war industry, and television combined to change that. Historian Shane Bernard has documented this recent history in his book, The Cajuns, Americanization of a People. He says even as Cajuns became more assimilated, their unique culture became more popular and often misrepresented. One prime example, the 1987 Dennis Quaid movie, The Big Easy. Shane Bernard says it was generally scorned in South Louisiana.
Now you see my grandpapa on my mama's side? Now he was the real Cajun now, born and deaded on the Bayou Teche.
People were snickering throughout the movie. It was just so bad. I mean, the depiction of rural Cajuns in metropolitan New Orleans was humorous to us. And, the mispronunciation of the word sha, which is a term of endearment, as share, you know, throughout the movie.
No, sha, it's you. Really?
I suppose really the worst movie about Cajuns would be Southern Comfort, in which a National Guard platoon goes into the swamp to train and ends up incurring the wrath of a group of Cajuns by stealing their piros, which is a sort of like a canoe that we have down here. And for the rest of the movie, they are stalked by these Cajuns who are just depicted as barbaric swamp dwellers.
Say, where's that telephone?
We're getting telephone, you see. We got the electric lights, but we don't got the telephone.
We want to go to town with a telephone.
No, I have something to drink. That's a good time with us.
It was hardly the sort of image that the Cajun people would want for themselves. And we do have an image of being nonstop partiers, and I think that's because the media tends to come down here annually at Mardi Gras, and so there's this perception that this is what we do all year round, when in fact we only do that during Mardi Gras season. You would not think that based on what you often see in the media.
And then there was the rage in Cajun cooking, what Shane Bernard says led to an explosion in faux Cajun culture.
Paul Prudhomme, the Cajun chef, was known far and wide as the man who invented blackened redfish, which incidentally is not a traditional Cajun dish, but Cajun food became hot, trendy, chic across the United States during the 1980s and beyond. And unfortunately, along with this popularity came an awful lot of phony Cajun products, you know, things like Cajun pizza, Cajun tacos. It's not the sort of thing that Mama and Papa put on their table 40 years ago.
I just wonder if, though, when the world takes an interest in a culture, and especially when you end up with sort of phony aspects of that culture, is that sort of the death knell of a culture when it becomes Disneyfied, for lack of a better word?
Well, a folklorist friend of mine says that whenever a culture is discovered, it's also destroyed. And I don't know if that's true or not, but you know, it's Mardi Gras season down here, and in the rural towns around Lafayette, which is the self-described capital of Cajun Louisiana, you still have these rural running of the Mardi Gras, in which men and women on horseback ride from house to house in various stages of inebriation and collect ingredients to make a giant communal gumbo. But increasingly, the media threatens to outnumber the locals who are participating in this folk tradition. And along with the media come more and more tourists every year, which is good for us economically, but culturally the festivals end up being diluted somewhat. This is a problem for the Cajun culture. You know, how do we balance preserving the traditional culture and yet making it accessible to outsiders at the same time?
You know, you have a chapter that's titled Exploitation and Revitalization, which is sort of both opposite sides of a coin, I think. And there's one advertisement that you cite. It's an advertisement for spatulas.
Right.
That were the traditional 17th century woodcut spatulas. And what does the advertisement say?
Quote, "When I stir my gumbo with one of these spatulas, I feel like I'm stirring in 300 years of Cajun history. Could the blood, sweat, and tears of my ancestors be in this spatula?"
Is that the perfect point of exploitation and revitalization?
I think so. I mean, it's a spatula for Pete's sake, you know. Yet it's made to sound like some sort of artifact of great significance.
If one were to use the word authentic as meaning, you know, something that occurs in a natural way on a daily basis, what is left within Cajun culture that is authentic?
I don't know, to be honest with you, because my personal feeling is that a Cajun really doesn't have to do anything to be a Cajun, except perhaps recognize their own ancestry, and I'm not even sure about that. I mean, I'm a Cajun by ancestry. What do I do that's authentic or traditional? Well, my family gets together, we make gumbo, but that's sort of a superficial way of determining ethnicity. Anyone can get together, make a gumbo. That being said, you know, most of my friends that I grew up with in the 60s and 70s are Cajuns, like me. None of us speak French. None of us do anything that's stereotypically Cajun. It's not something you can really put your finger on. What does it mean to be a Cajun? I think it's something that every individual has to answer for themselves.
Shane Bernard is the author of The Cajuns, Americanization of a People. For a taste of Cajun, cuisine, music, and history, visit npr.org.
And this is Morning Edition from NPR News. Bob Edwards will be back tomorrow. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Montaigne.